In 1960, Duke Ellington's orchestra recorded an arrangement of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker. The piece is rarely performed today, but you'll be able to hear it during this year's Sounds of the Season concert here at Interlaken. I sat down with Bill Sears, Interlaken's Director of Jazz Studies, to discuss why this piece is important for students and audiences. Bill Sears, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thanks so much. I'm glad to be here with you.
Tell us a little bit about Ellington's Nutcracker that the students will be performing.
It's really a remarkable piece of work and achievement, and the arrangements were done by Billy Strayhorn. And Billy Strayhorn was Duke Ellington's co-composer and arranger, who, in fact, much of the music that we associate with Duke Ellington, like Take the A-Train, for example, was actually written by Billy Strayhorn. But Ellington had the ability and the capacity to know how to orchestrate things. And so he influenced Strayhorn with that, and they kind of worked together on this and utilized the themes of the Nutcracker, but arranged them, first of all, with a swing beat underneath everything. There's improvisation built into the themes throughout each one of the movements of the Nutcracker. And it's incredibly, the achievement of what they achieved through this, I think is really pretty remarkable, because they were pretty true to keeping the themes present. Someone who would know the Nutcracker would listen to it and go, that's the Nutcracker, but not like what I am used to hearing. And so they were able to keep that intact while putting a modern jazz spin onto it, modern for 1960, spin onto it. And the music is infectious.
So I understand that this particular piece isn't actually performed very often. Why is that?
Well, first of all, music for it was not available for the longest time. And thanks to Jazz at Lincoln Center in New York, which is spearheaded by Wynton Marsalis, they paid a former colleague of mine by the name of Jeff Lindbergh, who teaches in Ohio. He's got great ears, and he can just transcribe anything off of a recording. So he took the entire recording, and he transcribed it all out with all of the inner parts and everything. I used to play in a band that he led in Chicago, and he would transcribe Duke Ellington and Count Basie music for us all the time. And so then they got the publishing rights through the Billy Strayhorn Foundation. And so Jazz at Lincoln Center, a couple of years ago, was able to publish the music, and now it can be purchased by anyone. And one of the greatest performances of it in recent times has been a side-by-side with the New York Philharmonic and the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, going back and forth between the different movements of it. It's something you can find online. It's pretty great. It was a live broadcast on PBS a couple of years ago.
So unlike a Tchaikovsky score, which Tchaikovsky would have published and an orchestra could purchase or rent and then play from the parts, Ellington did not publish his score for this piece, and it had to be transcribed from the recording.
Correct.
Is that true of most Ellington pieces?
A lot, yeah. There are bits and pieces. Most of his scores were sketches. So Jeff probably was able to secure sketches because the Smithsonian Institution owns the entire Duke Ellington collection of scores. He was probably able to secure the sketches to help him with the rest to fill in the blanks. But most of the time, they just kind of wrote out parts and handed them to the guys in the band, and they played them.
Is this the first time you're doing this piece here at Interlaken?
Oh, yes. We just got the music this year for the first time, and it just came in this past fall.
That's very exciting. The first presentation here at Interlaken. Great. So why is this piece useful for students to learn?
Well, first of all, they know the music. And a lot of the students that are involved in the jazz ensemble are also orchestral students. So they've played the Nutcracker, and they've grown up maybe having played it, maybe having heard it. And so now they're being exposed to a new interpretation of this classical music. And I'm a firm believer in, throughout my teaching career, when I work with students, I really believe strongly in teaching them the historical background of the music. That we're not just going to play the latest, greatest thing. We're going to go back in time so that we see the evolution of the music. And this has really become part of the canon of holiday music from a jazz perspective now.
So what are some challenges of teaching Ellington's music to the students? I mean, are they trying to imitate the original recordings? Are they trying to improvise and create something new?
I'm having them play the improvised solos. I'm having them play as true to the originals as they can, because that's how they're going to learn to capture the style of it, is by imitating the great players that were on these recordings. And one of the things that is really valuable for them is that the tone qualities that in the horn sections, the tone qualities that the musicians played with were quite different than what they will be in an orchestral setting, or even in, for example, a trumpet player who's playing, studying Miles Davis's playing. His tone quality was quite different than what it is the guys who played in the Ellington band. So that is part of it, is they learn to capture a different sound and create a different mood. Another thing that's unique about the way that Ellington and Strayhorn orchestrate is that they utilize what we refer to in jazz, at least, as cross-voicing. So maybe the melody is played by three saxophones and a trombone with a plunger mute and a trumpet with a straight mute, as opposed to it being five saxophones playing that melody. So it creates a different oral perspective than what they will hear in most traditional big band composers and arrangers.
Bill Sears, thank you so much for coming in today to talk to us about Ellington and Strayhorn's Nutcracker.